Hello, welcome to the 5280 podcast. Strap on and have a good time.
Mobile 5280 Studios Weekend Geek Update Spotlight Edition. We are at Comic Fest / Starfest this weekend, and I've got the privilege of sitting down with Steve Gordon. Now, Steve has been... Actually, you know what? I admire your work, and I love what you do, but what do you do?
Well, I've been in the animation business mostly for about 40 years.
40 years.
Yeah, doing anything and everything in that business, from animating back in the day when there was actual paper and pencil to directing and character design and storyboarding and whatever else.
Wow. So. I would love to do that. I've always wanted to do voice acting. I mean, that's kind of where I've been, but you've actually seen the evolution from pen to paper to digital now.
Yeah, I guess so, sure.
What was your favorite part of the process, or what did you enjoy the most back, or currently?
In this business, you kind of have to enjoy whatever you're doing as much as you can. Probably the biggest thrill was when you'd animate something on paper, and at some point way down the line, you'd see it actually on the screen. That's always was kind of an exciting moment.
So that thing where it just all comes together and you're like, yeah, that's all me.
Yeah, final finished, in color, in a theater.
What was the most favorite character that you animated?
Oh, wow. Boy, I don't know. it varied. You know, I had a lot of favorites. You know, I liked doing the Horned King for the Black Cauldron.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. Enjoyed doing a lot of the X-Men Evolution characters because I actually did some real animation for them, even though most of the animation was shipped overseas to be done. So, but I did do some, like for the titles and some of the dance scenes, I did those characters. Stuff, so.
Now, when you were doing the X-Men Evolution stuff, I mean, do you have a strong tie to the X-Men? What's your comic book background? Or
actually... way back when I was a little kid, I read a lot of the X-Men and a lot of the Marvel stuff, whatever, back when Jack and Stan were doing it and whatnot. And
right.
Ditko and stuff. But tell you the truth, when I was hired to work on X-Men Evolution, I'd had very little contact with comics for probably a couple of decades.
Oh, wow.
And frankly, I had no idea who Wolverine was, or
so.
Many of those
so it was
other
a bit
characters.
Of an eye-opening homecoming type of thing.
Yeah, it was. You know, I had to quickly do a lot of research because originally I was hired to just be one of the directors. But when we were trying to develop it and we were throwing stuff out there and whatnot, you know, I had to do a lot of research to try to figure out who these characters were. And in some ways, that's sort of what. Contributed to the fact that we were completely going at a tangent for a lot of the characters.
Right.
And the fact that, to be honest, you know, I was somewhat familiar with the Fox in the 90s X-Men, and I just thought it was awful, to be blunt.
And well, not all of them can be Oscars. We get that.
Yeah, and just not my style of look or anything else, and just way in your face and everything else. And so a lot of the work that I was doing on X-Men Evolution was specifically in protest of that.
Absolute contrast to it.
Yes. You know, like, you know, the whole, the biggest example or the easiest example is Rogue, how she had in the Fox show, she was basically Dolly Parton with superpowers. And, you know, just never liked it. And I was able to convince the other people I worked with to go the extreme opposite. You know, if she was going to be Southern, she was going to be trailer trash.
Right, proper Southern.
Yeah, more common Southern. And, you know, then we came up with the idea of making her goth, which seemed to work better. And the fact that Marvel was pretty much leaving us alone allowed us to kind of
really. So they gave you free reign; they didn't interfere.
Yeah,
wow,
they were not too. The only thing that at that time Marvel was interested in was
movies.
Well, no, not at that time.
Oh.
We were working simultaneously on the first season of X-Men Evolution as they were working on the first X-Men movie.
Oh.
So that was way back.
Wow.
Back, and sometimes they asked us to follow certain ideas that they were doing in the movie. Like, we knew that Professor X was going to be played by Patrick Stewart and stuff, so we followed that lead on that character, and they gave us designs for his wheelchair, so we used that. But they would, for Sabretooth, we'd try a couple things on Sabretooth, and they'd say, no, he's not going to look at all like a supervillain. We're going to put him in a trench coat. And could you do that? And I'd say, okay, can you show me something? No, we can't show you what we're doing, though. So we had to come up with our own variation of what he would look like in a trench coat. So
That's shooting in the dark at that point, really.
But, he gave us a specific look of our own, which was nice.
So when you were looking with the Fox, to call back to the Fox thing, which is loosely based on the Jim Lee inception of the X-Men when they came back in the
91s. Everyone had cartridge belts all over them. And,
The Rob Liefeld approach. Right, we don't know what they do, but damn, they just full on the belt.
They've got pockets. Boy, they've got pockets. Whatever. Yeah.
So how liberating was it to be able to break outside of the shell, go exactly the opposite of everything that's been established? I mean, how liberating is something
like
that?
That was great. I mean, it was a lot of fun and seemed to have actually worked. Once the audiences got over their initial, how dare you, they seemed to latch on. Yeah, they seemed to latch on pretty quickly. In fact, it's rare that I don't come to a comic con or something where I don't hear from, young ladies, especially in their 20s and 30s, who said that that's what got them into comics.
Wow.
X-Men Evolution, because, we had a very specific tone that worked very well for women or girls at the time. And, and I don't know if you remember at the time, but at the Kids WB, which is the channel we were on.
Right.
Their biggest hit was Pokemon.
No, I remember.
And that was mainly due to the fact that they had a strong female audience. And by the second season, we were starting to beat Pokemon.
Oh, wow.
Mainly due to the fact that
female
we were
characters.
Getting the female, a strong female audience.
Well, and even with X-Men First Class, there are elements in the movie that I noticed from X-Men Evolution, especially the Nightcrawler character.
Right.
I mean, that is a direct ripoff from X-Men Evolution, in my opinion.
Definitely. And you can see designs and stuff floating in, even in the Avengers movie, the design for Scarlet Witch is very
similarly from Evolution.
Yeah.
So that's got to be kind of a compliment. You're like,
it'd be nice if they paid something. But,
Brubaker's thinking the same thing for Captain America.
Yeah, well, that ain't going to happen probably. Getting them to follow is fine.
Excellent. So out of the X-Men, who is your favorite or who do you enjoy exploring the most with?
Well, actually, coincidentally, I liked a lot of the female characters. I liked Rogue. I liked our take on Scarlet Witch. I liked Boom Boom.
Which I was, of all the characters for them to focus on, Boom Boom's so out of left field, out of X-Factor, and then and New Mutants and all of that. I wasn't sure the science behind that one.
Well, I'm not sure why we gravitated towards her, but even in the first season, we tried to stick her in. It failed. We were trying to stick her in the background, and we dropped back. I forget the episode exactly, but there was one where the kids are all going away on some field trip or something, that we had a girl that we said, that's going to be Boom Boom. And then by the second season, we decided, we could do better than that.
Oh, okay.
We never made anything out of that character, but that was our intent at the time. But we just kind of liked the idea, and I don't know why. It was something that all the directors and the producer gravitated towards.
Okay. But, well, I mean, it's something nobody had done or had seen. Yeah. She isn't an overused character at this point.
Yeah. I've liked some of the things I've seen her in, and it was pleasantly surprised to see her in that, what was that short series, miniseries? and I'm blanking on the even the artist's name. It was the kind of the sarcastic take on S.H.I.E.L.D. and
I'm not sure on that one.
I'm blanking. It'll hit me after I leave, I'm sure.
You're like, ah!
It was done by Stuart Immonen, did all the artwork.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay, sorry about that.
No, trust me, it happens to me all the time. There's too much comic book knowledge. Sooner or later, something gets pushed out. The other day, I forgot how to tie my shoes. The whole evolution of comics to movies.
Mm-hmm.
What do you? I mean, what's your take on it? Are you enjoying what you're seeing? Or
I think a lot of it's pretty good. I like the tone, especially of most of the Marvel films. I think that they've hit a sweet spot. I think some of them seem a little rough around the edges. You know, I think the DC ones need to learn something.
Yeah, that's a long conversation on that alone.
But I think the overall, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that Jon Favreau started it. He kicked it off with Iron Man, I think. I think
he
that
set
did a
the
lot.
Tone.
Yeah, and they seem to be following along with that. I mean, you know, the first X-Men one wasn't in that. It was prior to Favreau, but it was close, but not quite. And I think he definitely nailed it, especially with kind of a weird secondary character like Iron Man, and then proved that you could do something good with him.
Well, and I loved when he was on the screen, when Favreau was on the screen with Tony. I mean, him as Happy was is absolutely perfect.
Absolutely. No, and you know, I worked with him on Jungle Book.
Oh,
I did storyboards on the Jungle Book, and I think that same tone permeated Jungle Book.
That movie. Yeah. I mean, the live action. So what did you do on Jungle Book?
Storyboards.
Yeah,
he handled it like an animated film, which I guess it was.
Kind of was.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. How do you get a tiger to talk and move?
Absolutely. So. But, yeah, so, you know, that was kind of fun. And, you can watch that film and watch most of his films and see he's got that tone.
He does.
And it was perfect for comic book movies, I think.
Aliens versus Cowboys. I mean, that whole film, I was just like, how are they even going to marry this together? But, I mean.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was unsuccessful box office-wise.
But it's a very good, solid story.
I mean, I would have loved to have seen his take on John Carter, because he was developing that for a while.
For a long while, unfortunately, that fell. I think he probably would have saved. Well, I don't know if it would have saved the movie. It probably would have been a little bit better,
at least. It's really hard to say.
You just never know how it's going to go.
No.
Speaking of going, what are you doing right now? What kind of irons you got in the fire,
Well,
Steve?
Right now I'm working at Paramount Animation. I'm head of story on SpongeBob 3.
What?
Yeah, a little bit out of my typical wheelhouse, but I'm on that. And I'm, doing some other miscellaneous stuff around. And also I'm currently doing a little bit of online comic book work, something called Headhunter for a group that's called Sit Comics.
Okay.
It's kind of developing a little bit. And then also helping out on the Mike Wingo tribute book.
Oh.
The Tullis tribute book that should be out pretty soon.
Nice.
So hopefully by Comic-Con time and stuff. So
what do you think the future for comics are going to be? Are we looking at a total digital revolution? Are we looking at a new golden age?
I don't know. It's hard to say. And to be honest, I no longer buy hard copies. And I know that's probably awful for the comic book stores and everyone else, but yeah, I just don't have the room or the inclination.
It comes down to space.
Yeah. And I just buy digital comics, and it's convenient and easy. You know, I can read them at bedtime and on my iPad and not have to worry about it. And, but I don't know. I'm not really sure whether or not it's going to go that way or not. That seems to still be sort of a fraction of the business, but I don't know.
Well, and even, people thought vinyl was dead. No way in hell anyone would ever listen to a record. And now, it's doing a resurgence.
Back. Yeah, sure. So, it doesn't seem like, it seemed like the real big comic book fans insist on having hard copies. So, that's good. Of course, a lot of them even gravitate towards the compilation sets.
The trades?
The singles,
Yeah, no one gives a shit about a trade. I mean, you can beat that up, read it, the whole story be done. Yeah, you get the one issue, you're like, might be worth something, and in the box it goes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not sure whether comics will ever have any value like they used to, though, because too many people are hip to it, and no one's letting their mother throw it out anymore.
No. So. I think the last peak probably would be Walking Dead, number one. I think that's probably the last of the
shots.
Yeah,
and that's just because no one expected it to do well.
Nobody did. Even Image was like, ah, this is going to suck.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not sure there's ever going to be that type of market again, where a collector's market for comics or whatever, but I don't know. Anything's possible, I guess.
Yeah, anything at this point. So if there was a character or a genre or a storyline that you could do out there, anything, what would it be?
Wow. I don't know. Good question. There's some things I'd love to take a shot at, but...
Yeah? Like?
I would love to... I did do an ongoing online series based on Edgar Rice Burroughs character for a while, and I'd love to take a shot at some, like a John Carter, actually. That's always been something, or Doc Savage, or some Pope stuff. I really like Pope stuff quite a bit, Shadow and stuff. I wouldn't mind going there. Or even some retro characters, like Madam Mask and, or Miss Mask or whatever, and, some of those characters from way back in the Pope days of comics.
Right.
Be kind of fun.
Yeah, because I wouldn't mind seeing like an old Alan Quartermain style type of story out there again, or Doc Savage would be great.
Yeah, I'd love to take a shot at some of those, and at this point,
you never know. Yeah. So when is SpongeBob gonna be? Are you working on that?
Way down. I mean, they announced that it'll probably come out in 2019, but. it's easy to fudge those dates, I think.
After a while. Any new stuff coming out? More current or more recent animation stuff?
Well, I did some storyboards on a film that may be out this year sometime called Animal Crackers.
Oh, okay.
That's if you go online, you can see some info about that.
Okay.
It's just kind of a more of a Pixar type of movie, that level. Disney, Pixar,
okay.
DreamWorks type of movie. And I'm trying to think if anything else I've worked on lately is coming out soon. Some of it never seems to reach that level.
Right. So you worked on The Black Cauldron.
Yeah.
And you've seen more of like the 3D Pixar animation style. Mm-hmm. Which do you lean? What do you fall more towards? What do you like more?
my personal?
Yeah.
I prefer 2D.
Okay.
Drawn stuff. But I... understand perfectly that audience seems to gravitate towards CG. So, if I were investing in a film, an animated film, I'd invest in a CG film, not a 2D film.
Do you think that the art and like the background is lost in the 3D film versus the background? Because I remember Black Cauldron. That was dark and gritty, and it was great. And then the little creature that ate the apples. I can't. Munchies.
Gergi,
yes.
Yeah.
Him.
Yeah, it just... It definitely was more artistic when it was in 2D, when the backgrounds are painted and so forth. But, for whatever reason, audiences seem to really love CG in ways that they, even during the heyday in the 90s, when 2D was doing really well, CG is blowing it away.
And it was the bad, it was like the Dancing Baby and Toy Story hadn't come along yet, and it just looked so...
Well,
chunky,
it kind of runs.
Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, and plus, only Disney was able to make money in 2D. That was the only studio that was making money at the time. And now there's, half a dozen studios or more that are making money in CG animated films. So,
True.
So you got to assume that for whatever reason, audiences like it better. I couldn't tell you why, but it does. They do.
So, choice book, Marvel or DC?
Probably Marvel.
Okay.
I mean, there are certain things about DC books I like, but just broad strokes, probably Marvel.
Okay. So. Stay within the X universe, or would you cross over?
Well, it varies. I mean, what I personally read at night on my iPad are more indie type things. Like I'm reading Lady Killer right now.
Oh, good book.
Yeah. I love the artwork in that.
Mm-hmm.
And the stories are fun and stuff, but I mean, there are certain artists that I'll follow, like, that girl I just discovered. But Eminem, I love his artwork. Whenever I can, I'll read stuff by him and look at it and stuff. And it helps if the stories are good, too, of course.
Of course. I mean, it is still a visual medium. I mean, that's what's got to pull you in if the art's kind of...
But I'll tell you, even if the story seems good, if the artwork is awful, I will drop. I will not be able to make it through a book.
No, I'm 100% with you. Who was your favorite artist? Who always was, you know, your staple that you, no matter what?
When I was like learning and growing up, Gil Kane was probably my go-to.
Loved him. I mean, that's what got me in the Green Lantern. And God. His lines were
I just
great.
Loved his stuff. He had a vitality to his stuff that I always saw as like, well, it was Ditko, but knowing anatomy and, you know, having...
And expressions. Because, I mean, even some of the covers, Hal just looks absolutely like... You know, or I mean, just how he relayed emotion was.
Yeah. And Buscema was also. I mean, there's a solidity to Buscema's stuff.
Yes.
That was just. Yeah, I probably draw closer to Buscema when I'm drawing my own stuff. That's insulting him, but.
That's not true. I saw your Marvel Girl. I didn't even know who it was. You weren't even finished. I'm like, Marvel Girl? You're like, got a definitive style, Steve.
But, you know, he was always a very solid. Defining artist for me, and you toss in Gil Kane, and those were the two that I grew up with. I appreciated a lot of others during the time and stuff, but
right.
And you know, there's some that I really appreciate now too, like Brian Hitch, and you know, some for other reasons and the staging and layout and stuff. But you know, it just depends.
Okay. And current artist, now the girl you said that's drawing the book you're reading,
Lady Killer. Yeah,
I'm trying to remember who she was.
I'm awful with names, but I think it's something like Joelle Jones, maybe. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've got the entire wrong book in my head. But I just know I really am enjoying the artwork in that. And I think it's a girl that's doing, or lady that's doing it, but I'm not sure.
I think Red's on it. She's typing furiously over there. No, she's not paying attention.
She's ignoring me.
She is.
But I really like the artwork in that book. It feels kind of like an animation look, but it's got a very solid structure and graphic look to it and stuff, so it's kind of cool.
So now 40 years in the industry, I think you kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah. Depends on who you ask.
Now, if you're an artist or you're up and coming, I'm sure you've done speaking and everything. What's like the first thing you tell artists or students that are trying to follow in your footsteps?
Marry well. Marry someone with a good career. It's a very, you know, animation is a significantly better career than comics, from what I gather.
Right.
But it's still a lot of hit and miss. And you got to really work at maintaining it, and you got to diversify. You know, first marry well, and then learn more than one thing. You know, like my case, you know, I started out animating, and then I went to character design and storyboard and directing. You got to learn a spectrum of things to do, otherwise you will be in trouble. Like when 2D in animation ended, there were whole legions of great artists.
Unemployed.
Unemployed. And not even just the animators. It was all the cleanup people and in-betweeners that there was just no way for them to flip over into CG.
No.
Their great skills just didn't translate at all.
And it's sad to see, but, I mean, the craft of 2D, so labor-intensive. Yeah. I mean, now, I mean, the artist pretty much can do everything, even down to, like, rendering his own stuff.
But usually those are broken down into specific job categories. If you watch the end of a CG film, the lists go on and
on. It's worse than the intro to Star Wars. Yeah, I mean, that thing just goes on forever.
It's a very labor-intensive medium. And, you know, originally a lot of people thought, well, CG, it's because it's a cost savings. No, not really. In fact, it costs more because of the number of people and all the rendering that needs to be done, the computer work. I mean, to render a single scene can take a long time.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just intensive computer time and stuff. So that all adds up. But, you know.
Do you have a favorite animated?
Current animated?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're wearing a Minions t-shirt. Come on.
Well, okay. Well, yes. I do like a lot of what Illumination's doing these days.
Okay.
They're on quite a roll. They're kind of hitting what Pixar was for a while, which is they don't seem to be slowing down.
No, everything's a hit. And they don't even have John Ratzenberger, coming in to help them.
And Pixar's stumbling a lot more these days. And I'm sure at some point Illumination will hit the wall too. But right now, boy, they're just film after film seems to be doing well in the box office, and everyone seems to enjoy it and stuff. So,
well, I mean, we're on what, Cars 3 now, and yeah. I mean, it's like all of their ideas are kind of
it's kind of turned a little corporate, at Pixar, which I guess success does that. So
it happens sooner or later.
But, there's a lot out there, but you know, I don't have kids right now, so I don't see everything that comes out. I don't have a reason to. Until towards the end of the year, when I'm on the awards, award ceremony, awards nomination committee and stuff, I will sit down and watch as many as I can. But it's for a different reason. I'm looking at different things.
Well, yeah, you're breaking it down for the clinical, and
seeing what is actually a good film, and for different reasons, and what seems to be working the art and such. So.
All right. Excellent. If they wanted to follow you, Steve, or see what you're up to, what's the best way of...
Oh, I'm on Facebook, and you just look me up on Facebook. I've also got a fan page on Facebook, The Art of Stephen E. Gordon. I'm on Instagram. I'm on, Tumblr. I'm everywhere.
Excellent.
Twitter. So
well,
it's
Steve,
easy to find me.
I appreciate you sitting down with me. I'm going to have to get a sketch from you for sure before you leave.
Sure.
But be sure to come down to Comic Book Fest, see Steve and a plethora of other artists. Steve, thank you so much. And hopefully we'll have you on again sometime.
My pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.